Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready for more propaganda? Well, you're in the wrong place at the right time. Columbo Chronicles is for critical thinkers. Let's welcome the consumer advocate for justice. Here's the Rose, Rose Columbo.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose, Rose Columbo. Yes, I am right here for you every Wednesday, God willing, on Columbo Chronicles and the Justice Club, because we all know there's very little justice left in the world, but we'll stay positive and we will continue to strive for justice so that justice always prevails in the United States of America and hopefully around the world. Hey, happy holiday season to everyone. I hope you're in the spirit, and I hope you are thinking positive, and I'm happy that you are here with Rose on Columbo Chronicles today. And you can listen to Columbo Chronicles live on Blog Talk Radio around the world on the internet, and you can also upload it now by going to YouTube and typing in the search box Columbo Chronicles, and it will take you to an archived list of authors and experts and topics that will be of interest to you, whether it's on crime, love, divorce, romance, money, business, health, religion, whatever. You will find it at Columbo Chronicles, authors from around the nation and sometimes international. Yes, I believe I've probably interviewed probably 1,000 authors over the years, celebrities, politicians, lawyers, business people, coaches, actors, victims of injustices, you name it. I think I've done it. And it's been very, very satisfying to know that this information has been getting out to you in America and around the world thanks to the internet. So as times change, we have to change, because I was on AM/FM radio for many years, streaming in Southern California, and then in the mid-2000s, we had podcasts, which is fantastic. So for people who don't know, and it's your first time listening to Columbo Chronicles, I am a legendary crusader, and I call myself the advocate for justice for 30 years. Proposed laws, they've been implemented by legislators, proved on the books, consulted with victims of injustices in all walks of life, judges, lawyers, you name it, average housewife, whatever. And courts now, it's by referral because it's so overwhelming because there are too many injustices. So we have to bring that number down. And I provided moral support and suggestions. I do not give legal advice, political, or financial advice, but I do provide suggestions, moral support, and guidance. So on that note, that's enough about me for the newbies, because today we have a fabulous returning guest. His name is Robert L. Dillenschneider. He is the founder and president of the Dillenschneider Group, and I'm going to tell you more about him right after this important message, and we will enter into the wonderful world of authors and experts.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Columbo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Columbo, available at Amazon.com.
The Justice Club is back on Columbo Chronicles live podcast. Join Rose Columbo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right, everyone. Listen up, because now we are going to enter into the fabulous world of authors. And today we have a fabulous repeating guest, and we're so grateful to have him on our show, Robert L. Dillenschneider. So let me tell you a little bit about him before we say hello and welcome him. He's formed the Dillenschneider Group in October of 1991, headquartered in New York, Chicago, and Miami, with 34 offices around the world. The firm provides strategic advice, and it also is counsel to Fortune 500 companies and leading families and individuals with experience in mergers, acquisitions, crisis communication, marketing, government affairs, and international media. Prior to forming his own firm, the Dillenschneider Group, President and Chief Executive Officer of Hill & Knowles Incorporated from 1986 to 1991, tripling that firm's revenue to nearly $200 million and delivering more than $30 million in profit. Now, that must have made them very happy. He was with this organization for nearly 25 years. Mr. Dillenschneider started in public relations in 1967 in New York, shortly after receiving an MA in journalism from The Ohio State University and a BA from the University of that wonderful Notre Dame. And the name of his book, I want you to write this down. Great gift, too. The Ultimate Guide to Power and Influence. Everything You Need to Know by author of On Power, Robert L. Dillenschneider. So let's welcome our very fabulous guest to Columbo Chronicles. Hi, Mr. Dillenschneider. How are you doing today?
Rose, after that build-up, I'm doing pretty well. Thank you for having me on the show. It's wonderful to be on just before Christmas, before Kwanzaa and during Hanukkah, so everybody wins this year, and it's great to have a chance to reach out to you. I know people around the world are very interested in your show, and it's a special privilege to be on the show, so please know how grateful I am.
Oh, well, thank you so much for that. I appreciate that. I do care about people and what is happening in our country, because we are the superpower, apparently. And we provide so much for people around the world, and we want to continue to do that to hopefully set people free. So you wrote this fabulous book. Yes, it's your latest book, The Ultimate Guide to Power and Influence, which is very important in today's world. So you wear a lot of hats, and one of those hats is through education and research and taking a risk to start your own business after working for Knowlton Incorporated and increasing their revenue to $200 million. So tell our audience and myself what caused you to leave Knowlton Incorporated and take a risk and start up your own business.
Well, Rose, I was doing, I think, a pretty good job for Hill & Knowlton, and one day I looked in the mirror and said to myself, why shouldn't I be doing this job for myself? And so that was the principal reason, but there was more to it. I was asked by one of the top people in the organization to break the law. And I said to this individual, I could do this, but I don't think I should do it. Maybe you should do it. at which point he said, no, I can't do it. I said, why not? He said, well, that's breaking the law. And I said, you can't ask me to break it, so I'm not going to do it. He said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I don't want to really work with a guy like you, so I'm going to leave the firm and set up my own company. And that's what I did in 1991. I've never looked back, and frankly, I don't know what happened to the person that asked me to break the law, but I hope he didn't break the law and get in trouble, but we'll see. I just don't know. But that's how we got to this place, and it's been a very, very rewarding experience, Rose, and one of the biggest parts of the experience that's been rewarding is having the chance to speak with you.
Oh, I appreciate that so much. I feel the same way, and I'm so excited when I have you on our show because it's such an important work that you do, at least to me it is, because of the rogue leadership we have today and the lack of leadership we have today. So, Bob, I've never asked you this question. When did you become an author, and what made you decide to become an author and help guide people to elevate themselves and in their own lives?
Well, I don't want to be too simple about this, but in the late 1980s, I decided that I had something to tell people about power and influence. So I wrote the book, and the book became a bestseller. And since then, I've written 19 books, all of which deal in one way or another with the environment people have to deal with, which they encounter. The latest one, of course, just came out, and it's called The Ultimate Guide to Power and Influence. It takes all the things that have happened in the last 20, 25 years and brings the reader into a space that he or she can enjoy and which is consistent with the way the world has changed. So that's what happened.
And the world has changed and continues to change. So can you tell our audience and myself, too, I was thinking about this. I never asked you this question. Where did you grow up, and how did your childhood and your parents influence you to cause you to strive for success that led to influencing people around the world?
I was born in Forest Hills, New York. But at an early age, less than two, my dad, who was with Scripps Howard, moved out to Cleveland, Ohio. I went along with him. And in Cleveland, we had a nice little experience. And I was about seven or eight, and we moved to Columbus. And Columbus, Ohio, is really the place I grew up, Rose. It's where I spent a large part of my time in grade school, in secondary school at St. Charles Borromeo, and where I then matriculated up to Notre Dame. So that's where I grew up. The people in Columbus are just terrific people, salt-of-the-earth people that really care about doing the right thing and, frankly, turn away and shy away from doing the wrong thing. So there's no special occasions, no special accommodation that's taught in Columbus. You learn how to do things the right way, and I did. And I've tried to apply the lessons I learned, this is over 30 years ago, to the current clients and business that I'm operating in right now.
Do you believe that the teachers and your parents both had influence or religion in your life? Do you think that America was different then than what is happening today? With, you know, two parents out working and a lot of latchkey kids and a lot of open borders and influences coming into the USA and into our schools. Do you believe that it was different then than it is today?
Rose, I was really brought up by my mother and father, and they delivered lessons to me virtually every single day, and how to conduct myself, do proper things, reflect their level of respect, and so on. I've never forgotten those things, and I try to carry those things forward. If my mother and dad were alive today, unfortunately they've gone, I'm sure they'd be smiling because they'd be hearing some of the basic stuff that they taught me. But respect was the biggest thing. Have regard for other people. Have appreciation for what other people can do. And therefore, try to do what you can do in light of those other people. So that was extremely important. And that's really what I try to do as hard as I can every single day. So that's kind of how it all started. And as I looked back at things, when every time I came across anybody, really, almost anybody, who had something to say, if I took the position I just described, they would refer business to me. So I saw that doing the right thing was the fastest and easiest way and most productive way to get new business. So I did it. Most people in a similar situation were back in their homes, working on cardboard cutouts, trying to get their thinking into those cutouts. I said, it's important to do that, but I'd like to take it several steps further, which I've done.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that the motivation and the, because a lot of people think about doing, becoming entrepreneurs and starting businesses, but, or writing a book or whatever, and, but they don't take the motivational to the action part of that dream or potential that they may have within them. Does this book help bring that out in some way so that more people will take that risk and take that fear away? Because we all have some dream that we want to fulfill in our lives.
Rose, I tell people in the book and when I see them that they're just really beginning to realize their potential, and there's a lot that can be done. So why wait on the sidelines? If Americans, and America does this quite well, got to have people stand up and speak out and, frankly, do more than their politicians are doing, that would be a terrific thing. And that's one of the things I want to encourage. People who are part of the Rotary, part of the Lions, part of the Kiwanis, people who operate in their community schools, people who care about other people in their different organizations. I want to encourage those people to step up, and I frankly have done that, and I find every time I do it, there's a great response, very positive response. So count on that happening at least for the rest of my life.
Well, that's a great work for and purpose in this world. So actually amazes me is that there are positive influences in the world, such as yourself, and yet the world appears to have gone mad today, lacking respect for each other, lacking respect for themselves, and lacking real leadership compared to leaders of the past, who may not even have been great leaders, some of them, but they still had that respect when they stood on the stage and spoke to the nation or the world. In today's world, it's the world. And so why do you think this is happening in today's world that everyone decides they can wear a sweat or a T-shirt when they're in front of the public as a political figure? Am I the only one that bothers?
No, it's a very important question. what has happened, I think, is that people across the country and around the world are upset with the system that is in place. And what they are trying to do, in many cases, is to find a way to raise questions, to put out ideas, and to begin to change things and make things more positive. In other words, to take a voice in their community. It's extremely important to do that. And you don't have to worry about somebody criticizing you. If you take the right voice and do the right thing for your community, people are going to applaud you. So it's time to get up, write a letter to the editor, speak out on a local radio station, talk to reporters at the newspaper, give speeches at the local library, whatever it takes. But the idea has to be let's figure out a way to get this together. That has worked for me for literally 40 years, and I intend to continue to use it.
Mm-hmm. And so let's take Zelensky, for example, from what I've seen on media and read about him. He was a dancer and an actor. So why do you think that people today are electing bartenders, actors, community organizers, people they never heard of, people they know nothing about, they have no, many don't even have a background check or vetting any longer by our government? So why do you think that in today's world that so many people with inexperience are being elected into office?
I think that there are a lot of people who feel change is really critical, and so they're running. There are a lot of people who feel they can bring about change. They don't have the ability, unfortunately, and they're in office. There are a lot of people out there that have a vision and how power and influence can really affect life generally and them personally. And that is generally a very, very good thing. But there are people out there who say, no need to participate, no need for me to get involved. That's a big mistake in my view, because if you just think about it, I'm sure in life there are two or three moments, probably many, many more, where you have the opportunity to do something important, and you chose not to do it. So that's not a good thing. You should choose to do it and drive success and society forward. That's what living is all about.
It's kind of like when the door of opportunity opens and you decide not to go through it, or the window of opportunity is there and you decide not to go through it, and it's never opens again in many cases, in most cases. So it's like the risk, you know, do I go through the door and do I change my life? Do I change other people's lives? Or do I just stay complicit? And if it isn't bothering me, why should I bother as long as I'm okay, even though you're closing out the opportunity to see the world as it is in reality, which the world is not okay, and we are being threatened every single day by some third world country to wipe us out. So whether it's economically or whether it's shutting us down and indefinitely detaining us in our homes, even if we're healthy and we need to operate our businesses and earn a living and buy food and so forth. So when under those circumstances, I just read that a New York governor, a female, has just gone to the appellate court and got the green light to go into your home and indefinitely detain you based on an allegation or accusation only, which wipes out due process of law. And I would like to know what your thoughts are as an influencer, because this is a very powerful move by any American leader and justices or judges, federal judges, to make on U.S. soil that doesn't appear to me to be in accordance with the United States Constitution that guarantee our freedoms, liberties, rights, and privacy. And so how do you think that that particular, related to your book, let's say, The Ultimate Guide to Power and Influence, works with people in public office who believe that their power and influence is above the law?
I think that nobody is above the law. I don't care if it's Donald Trump or Joe Biden or anybody. Nobody's above the law. And so we have to pay attention to the law, or we have to change the law, one or the other. trying to skirt the law gets you in trouble. That's not a good thing. So try to stay out of trouble, try to do the right thing, and find a way in your community to lift up the others in the organization. Lift up people you're working with. Show them there's a better way. Find a way to be positive. Don't be constantly critical. Find a way to do constructive things that lead to a better life in your company, in your life, with society generally. I think that trying to go back and say to yourself, it's all going to be the politicians, they're going to do it all for me, is not a good thing. You need to say to yourself, okay, look, it's not a matter of just the politicians. We need to stand up. People in the service clubs, the Kiwanis, the Rotary, need to stand up. People in schools need to stand up. People in private life need to stand up. And they all need, when they're standing up, to be counted, to come forward with good ideas. Will they be great political ideas? Probably not. But they will be good ideas, and they'll be ideas that shape society. We're in a totally different environment. People are looking right now for a different way, the next step. There's an opportunity right now, Rose.
Right now, today, because no one's promised tomorrow. So I always say, do what you can today and make it fruitful or enjoyable, or do something that is an act of kindness for somebody else. And that will make it a great day. In your introduction, you talk about how fast-paced the world is changing, and it's changing rapidly. We don't keep up with the changes in the world, in my opinion. We can't keep up with all the changes in the world with technology, business, regulations, laws, and so forth, because every minute we're talking, they're coming up with a new law we know nothing about, or a regulation. So it's like they're strangling us with all these laws and regulations. So if we don't keep up with them, then we're left behind, as you state. So how does one keep up with so many changes in today's fast-paced world?
Happening every day, Rose. I mean, it's a rare day when you get up in the morning. Things are different by the end of the day. Very rare. So what do? You have to be constantly alert. You need to listen to people like Rose Colombo. You need to take time in your community, in your local political establishment. You need to have talks with people. I remember there was a restaurant in Columbus, Ohio, called Planks. And people go to Planks and stand around the bar, frankly, and talk about ideas. A lot of really good things happened as a result of that. Did it happen because of one person leading the way? Probably not. It happened because a group of people came together, they liked an idea, and they started forward on it. There's much more of that needs to get done in our society. We are right now in the United States on top of the world. Sure, we've got the Ukraine with Zelensky. We've got the Israeli situation with Hamas. But at the end of the day, we're on top of the world. What we need to do is figure a way to be stronger. And there are ways to do that. There are ways to say to yourself, it's not just the military. It's people that have a sense of character that are really good and who want to move things forward. I think that's extremely important that we do that. Should we support Ukraine? Of course. We should also help Ukraine understand, here are the things they should do if they want to promote and support themselves. Should we support the artwork in the south of France? Absolutely. And I think we ought to try to stimulate even more the different parts of the world. That would be a terrific thing, because artists have a way of expressing themselves that's different from most of the rest of us. I know that because my wife, Jenna, is an artist, and I see in her paintings how she feels about things. That is something I couldn't possibly even begin to imagine, but through her paintings, I really take my life to a new dimension. We need more of that.
Yeah, that reminds me of, not to bring up my book, but Obamasaurus. I design all my covers, but your wife reminds me of me, because when I design my covers, I design them intentional, for people to know or try to figure out what is in the book, what is it about. And so, and what, you know, the author is actually talking about or thinking about or trying to bring to the public's eye, which is what I think your wife does too. So I appreciate that very much, that her paintings do that, and I really appreciate that talent and bringing that to people's attention, you know, just by art. And we need to appreciate more artists because it brings us joy too. Art brings us joy and appreciation for their talent. So I wanted to ask you.
I am convinced, Rose, that artists over time have created more change, positive change, than a lot of the speakers in Congress. I'm just convinced of it.
Yes, yeah, sometimes you can look at a painting and you can just see so much in it, you know, and it's, or you can imagine things, and or it brings back memories. Like on my Instagram, there's a lot of painters on there, and they'll paint beautiful pictures of kids with surfboards and playing with the sand and the rocks. Not only does it bring back memories of my childhood being at the beach with family and friends and playing and finding millions of shells, which we can't find today, unfortunately, in the sand, but it was just such nostalgia. And then also my kids who grew up at the beach too. So it's also heartwarming as well to see their paintings. And so
well,
I always
one of the things
give
you're
them
saying
a heart.
Here, Rose, is, no. One of the things you're saying is that we ought to reach out and spend time with one another and appreciate other people's points of view and make it a 1 + 1 = 3. We can do that. It can get better. We in America have a unique opportunity right now to develop a civilization further than what we have that will stand the test of time for 100 years or more. We have that opportunity. Do the Ukrainians? No. Do the people in Israel or in Egypt? No. Do the French? Not really. We have the opportunity. We should seize on it now.
Oh, I love that. I like that idea a lot because I believe that we are at a crossroads, and I believe that we need to make really wise choices right now as a country and as a people, and especially for the babies and the children, because without babies and children, we don't have a country. Nobody does. And we don't have a future. Nobody does. And so it's very important to pay attention to these things that people use words in who are politicians, and maybe they don't even believe it themselves, but they'll say things that they think the people want to hear, or those who are going to vote want to hear, and they can cause a lot of havoc. So I think it's really important in this day and age to choose wisely on how we are going to preserve and defend and uphold our United States of America, the Republic, the great one nation
Rose,
of God,
and
the
Constitution. You're right on target, Rose. You're right on target, Rose. That's exactly what needs to happen. And we need to say to ourselves, I'm not going to change things dramatically. What I am going to do is respect people, respect society, find ways to improve what's going on up there. That's what I need to do. And so people should sit down at their desks, stand up in their offices, and say, I'm going to do something now that's going to make life better because of what I've done.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really take that much effort to do it, you know. And so, and the reward is so great that you know you did that. You know you made that change. Maybe nobody else in the world knows it because you handed it over to a legislator who liked it, which I've done before, and probably you and others. And that legislator took it forward and made it into law. But you know that you did God's work here. So that's all that's important, that God knows.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, God's up there. I mean, people say, is there a God? All I encourage them to do is think about the several universes that are beyond where we are. How do those universes happen? Well, somebody, something had to create them. They didn't just kind of happen. So there is a God, and we need to pay attention to that God and do the right thing. And if we do, life will be better.
Yeah, we say nothing had to come from something, so where did nothing come from?
Great question. I think that God is out there, whatever he is, whoever he is, however he is, and said, here's what's going to happen. So if you're in life and you're listening to the show, recognize it didn't happen for you. Somebody out there created an environment where you were going to go forward. That's really important. Find a way to nurture that environment, to develop positive views about that environment, to include people in a constructive way in that environment. Do it. It's important to do it right now.
Yeah, I think one of the important things that when I was a kid, and I went to Catholic school, but we were taught to memorize the Ten Commandments. On the Ten Commandments, how we say, oh, God stopped at 10 because he knew we couldn't even follow 10 completely, so he stopped at 10. But in those Ten Commandments, it gave kids a conscience of right versus wrong. And so you knew, once you memorized those Ten Commandments, if you were doing something wrong, I mean, any of them. And our framers realized that, in my opinion. I wasn't there, in my opinion. And they risked their lives to create this document, this beautiful document that we should respect and not shred and not trample on and not ignore and not change randomly by using executive orders that bypass Congress and the Constitution for political reasons. We must preserve that document, because in that document, the framers understood that the Ten Commandments would be the laws of this nation, because the constitutional laws are rooted from the Bible and the Ten Commandments, and that's what makes us a nation built on a Judeo-Christian foundation. It's not that anybody has to be a Christian or a Jew. It is our foundation that was built upon the Bible and the Ten Commandments.
Rose, I would encourage everybody listen to the show. I would encourage everyone listen to the show is go back and read those Ten Commandments and say, how do these commandments apply to my life? Am I violating any of the commandments? No, I should live by the commandments. I should honor my mother and father. I should do the right things and try very hard to make things better instead of killing them. That's a goal that everybody should have. Take a commandment each day and think about it and how you're going to reflect it when you're in your daily work. That would be a very useful thing to do.
I think so, too. And so I read that you had a title, and it was the Dean of American Public Relations Executive. And I am curious, how did you get the title and how you keep up with the changes when you're influencing Wall Street Fortune 500 companies in today's crazy world where nothing seems quite stable as far as the stock market and business and money go?
A lot of people, Rose, have confidence in me. They bring their opportunities to me. They bring their challenges to me. They bring their problems to me. And in so doing, and this has been across the board, around the world, big companies, small companies, prominent individuals, individuals who aren't known, they all come. And I think one of the reasons I got the title, whether it's good or bad, is because I've dealt with those people in a positive and constructive way. I try very hard to help people get through problems, and it works generally. So that's the way, the reason I think all of this happened.
But I think it's more than that, because when you're consulting with people, There are people with open minds, people with closed minds, people who want to hear what you have to say, and people who reject what you have to say. And it generally appears that the people who reject it months later or a year later or whatever will come back and say, oh, my gosh, I wish I would have listened to you. Can you help me? And many times it's too late to help them recoup what they lost or the opportunity they lost to make a difference.
A lot of people do
life.
That, Rose. A lot of people do that, and when they do that, don't scoff at them. Don't take offense. Don't have umbrage. Say to yourself, say to them, okay, I'm going to help you. Let's figure out a way to go forward. Let's make this positive. I received a letter the other day from one of my publishers about a book I'm writing on character. The publisher was extremely critical of the book. Should I just fold my tent and say, I'm not going to do it, I'll do something else? No. I'm going to write the book in a way that the publisher and ultimately the public will understand it and feel good about it.
Yeah, I'm a true believer in authenticity. I just am. I can't write unless I have my authenticity with me and my knowledge of firsthand experiences, because so many people are afraid to speak out. So many people today are afraid they're going to be targeted or punished or whatever by traditional publishers or whoever. And the bottom line is those people who, in my opinion, who are authentic and who do use their critical thinking and their experiences, firsthand experiences, as truth, eventually they will be recognized, eventually. It may
they
not
will.
Be
and,
immediate, but...
Rose, they just have to step out and show their true colors. It's going to work for them. It's been great to be on the show, Rose. I've really enjoyed it. Your listeners are lucky that they're fortunate enough that you are still on the air. Stay with it. It's really good.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I just have one more question for you. And then we'll go to your time to shine, and you can let our audience know how to get your books. And also, you can leave any message you like with the audience. So I wanted to ask you, in these troubling times of the open borders, and there's probably 40 or 50 million, I think, illegals who have come additionally into the USA. So how do the American people who are frustrated and, you know, want to open up a business, want to be entrepreneurs, or need jobs, how do they get to the point where they can feel as if they are not going to be turned down for a business loan or for credit or whatever they need to open that American dream small business?
It was about 100 years ago, 150 years ago, people started coming to this country. People came to the country and established a way of living. That can happen right now. Should we let the migrants in from south of the border? Maybe we should. There ought to be a system, however, that lets migrants know there are certain things they have to do if they come in. Should we have 1,000 migrants coming a day? No way. Maybe one or two migrants, but there's got to be a system that involves them in the community where they make a difference, and I'm sure that can happen. These are people; they've got set heads on their shoulders. They've got ideas. There should be something that opens the door for them. We need that in the worst way. Donald Trump has talked about building a wall. I don't know about that. Biden has talked about using our people to stop the migrants. I don't know about that. I think what we ought to do is have somebody sitting at a desk, maybe several people like this, interviewing the migrants, saying, here's what you got to do if you come into the United States. We don't have that right now.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it. I mean, we've all always had immigrants, but bottom line is immigrants, even if they're legal, can be deported for certain crimes, whereas, and they've done that, whereas natural-born Americans can never be deported. I would like people to know that. And even if they do anything wrong, they can be prosecuted, but they cannot be deported because we're innate to our soil and we are natural-born. And we must remember that we are the government. And I think that's really important, too, that something we've forgotten. We're not imposing our will on the government. They're imposing their will on us. So on that note, I just loved everything you had to say about The Ultimate Guide to Power and Influence, Robert L. Dylan Schneider. So now is your time to shine, and you can tell our audience any kind of context and how to buy your book, as well as any message you have for 2023 and 2024.
Rose, it's very simple. The book is called The Ultimate Guide to Power and Influence. It's on Amazon. It's in most bookstores. It's online. You can check my website. You can get it in those ways. What I'd like to do is ask your listeners, if they read the book, if any part of it, if they have an idea, please let me know. I'll try to find a way to get your idea into a public environment if I possibly can. So the way to get the book is very simple. And I encourage your people to do it. We've priced it, so it's decent. No, it's not going to break anybody's back or strain anybody's pocketbook, but it does have ideas. And if you listen to those ideas and try to live with them, your life's going to be better.
Well, that's beautiful. And I just want to thank you again for all your wonderful information, sharing it with the audience and myself. And also I want to wish you and your family and Joan very happy holiday, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, whichever you celebrate, and a very prosperous new year, too, and we'll talk to you again.
Happy Christmas. Take care. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And Robert L. Dylan Schneider has left the building, and I wanted to talk to you about something important that has come up that I read this morning online. So right after this important message, we'll be right back.
Obamasaurus, the new book by Rose M. Colombo, is an updated version of a political satire that reflects the political roadmap of today's world. Written with an Orwellian twist, will humanity survive or suffer depopulation or extinction? Obamasaurus by Rose M. Colombo, available at Amazon.com.
Yes, and I want to mention that Obamasaurus is a political fictional satire, adventure story, Orwellian style. And critics say it is masterfully crafted, and it will make readers very concerned about our humanity. So not only is it a great quick read for you, but also makes a wonderful gift for Christmas or any other holiday for that matter. And now I wanted to enter into the world of this club. We have actually brought back the Justice Club, and sometimes we do a total show on the Justice Club, depending on what's happening in our country.
The Justice Club is back on Colombo Chronicles live podcast. Join Rose Colombo at noon and find out what tips she will provide in a world of little justice.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the news today, but I found this article from the Jerusalem Post very intriguing. It says, genocide panel is another United Nations failure editorial. It says that the international community must be aware of the implications of such actions and recognize that a fair and balanced approach is essential for fostering lasting peace in the region. And it's by the JP Post editorial. It's dated today, December 13th. It says that the United Nations established in the aftermath of the Holocaust with the promise of preventing atrocities is failing its founding principles. While the United Nations is not a majority of Western countries, it is a majority of third world countries. Remember that. An upcoming panel accusing Israel of genocide in Gaza is just another instance of the United Nations' systematic failure to hold Hamas accountable for its actions in the ongoing conflict. Now, why members of Hamas are in our country, and why are sympathizers of Hamas, a extremist organization who attacked Israel first and then attacked a hospital and blamed Israel, which was false misinformation and true disinformation, are in our country. According to Prime Minister Netanyahu, he says that Hamas is ISIS, while Hamas is linked to Al-Qaeda, extremist organization, who's very well trained and who trains ISIS and Hamas, whether they're one or two organizations. If you recall, between 2009 and 2015, there were videos online of Hamas and ISIS and Al-Qaeda and these organizations, especially ISIS, who stated they were here in the United States. And in the retail business, for quite a while after 2001, there had been threats against the grid, and there still are, that there were threats that they would burn down America. And we have had excessive wildfires, 2009, across the United States, especially most recently during the lockdown, with farms, 19,000 cows burned down to ashes on a farm or a ranch. We've had many explosions. And back then, there were videos that these extremists were putting out, but it seems like they've scrubbed them a lot of information from the internet now. And said that they would attack the bridges, they would attack the dams, they would attack public schools, they would attack the mall, entertainment centers like Disneyland or sports events, concerts like in Las Vegas. So the open border policy is so dangerous to America, and flying in unidentified people from Palestine, Pakistan, Iran, admitting in 2016 that there were Iranian workers in the White House and the Muslim Brotherhood Care Organization, whose stated and written strategic goal is to wipe out America and Israel. It's stunning that they would be in our White House and a meeting with the top officials in our government. And so all of these against America, and especially by Iran, who the president, Ahmadinejad at the time, and the imam, both stated many times on video and in the news back then that their goal was to wipe out Israel and wipe out the USA. So what is stunning about this whole thing is that Hamas is an extremist group who stated a written strategic goal is to wipe out Israel and America, which is wipe out Jews and Christians and Catholics and all denominations of the Christian religion and the Bible. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention, that these extremist groups also prohibit homosexuality to exist under their ideologies. So I found it really interesting that the gays in America and Europe are supporting an extremist organization who wants to wipe out Western civilization and overpopulate in Western civilization and dominate the world, are marching with extremists who kidnap people and do lots of bad things to people, especially women. And to gays. So why are the gays marching with an organization of extremists who don't approve of that lifestyle and who punish those who are gay? That is rather shocking. So saying that the gay people do not know that these extremist groups' ideologies, be it religion or political laws, prohibit homosexuality and punish them to the extreme by the extremists. So, an upcoming panel accusing Israel of genocide in Gaza is just another instance of the United Nations' systematic failure to hold Hamas accountable, says the Jerusalem Post, for its actions in the ongoing conflict. Christian, why are you marching with an extremist organization? Because the Bible is made up of Jews in the Old Testament, because Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and Jesus' family lived in that area, and Jesus' family and Jesus were Jews. And in the New Testament, the Gentiles became Christians after Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross and resurrected from the dead 3 days later to ascend into heaven and sit at the right hand of his Father. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three persons in one. And so that New Testament tells the Christians that they must protect Israel because Christianity came out of Israel. And so when you think about joining a march, you need to really do your homework and your research and read their ideology and what their goals happen to be, because you may be marching for your own demise and that of your family and fellow Americans, fellow Europeans, fellow Canadians, fellow Australians, and so forth. So I just wanted to leave it on that note as food for thought, because this is a very, very serious issue, and people really need to know what is happening. And on that note, I have to leave the building, and I want to say, remember, injustices can happen to you, and they can happen to me, but together we can make a positive difference. Remember that you are never alone when you tune in to Columbo Chronicles every Wednesday, and also look it up on YouTube. Just type in Columbo Chronicles in the search bar, and you can listen to archived podcasts with your favorite authors, your favorite experts on your favorite topics. So God bless you, and God bless America, and God bless people everywhere around the world. Stay healthy and stay happy.
Well, my friends, time flies, and now is the time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for being part of the Colombo Chronicles family. You are appreciated. Please do it now. Bookmark. Push that like, share, and follow button. Oh, and don't forget to comment below and stay in touch. Make your family part of the Colombo family. Until next Wednesday at noon, remember, God loves you, and so does the Rose.